Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, entitled, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. Text number 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Savishvakaya Purahuta Isha. Savishvakaya Purahuta Isha. Satya Swayam Jyotir Ajapuranaha. Satya Svayam Jyotir Ajapuranaha. Datesya Janmadya Jayatma Shakya. Datesya Janmadya Jayatma Shakya. Tam Vidya Yodasya Niriha Aste. Tam Vidya Yodasya Niriha Aste. Savishvakaya Purahuta Isha. Satya Svayam Jyotir Ajapuranaha. Datesha Janmadya Jayatma Shakya. Tam Vidya Yodasya Niriha Aste. Savishvakaya Purahuta Ishaha. Satya Svayam Jyotir Ajapuranaha. Datesya Janmadya Jayatma Shakya. Tam Vidya Yodasya Niriha Aste. Savishvakaya Purahuta Ishaha. Satya Svayam Jyotir Ajapuranaha. Datesya Janmadya Jayatma Shakya. Tam Vidya Yodasya Niriha Aste. Savishvakaya Purahuta Isha. Satyaha Svayam Jyotir Ajapuranaha. Datesya Janmadya Jayatma Shakya. Thank you. ताविश्वकाय पुरोहूतैषा सत्या स्वयं ज्योतिरच पुराणः ततेच जन्माद्यजयात्मशक्या संविद्ययोदस्य निरीह अस्ते Saha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishvakayaha, the total form of the universe. The whole universe is the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Puruhutaha, known by so many names. Ishaha, the Supreme Controller, with full power. Satyaha, the ultimate truth. Swayam, personality. Jyotihi, self-effulgent. Ajaha, unborn, beginningless. Puranaha, the oldest. Date, he performs. Asya, of this universe. Janmadi, the creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Ajaya, by his external energy. Atmashakya, by his personal potency. Tam, that external material energy. Vidyaya, by his spiritual potency. Udasya, giving up. Nirniha, without any desire or activity. Aste, he is existing, untouched by the material energy. Translation. The entire cosmic manifestation is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who has millions of names and unlimited potencies. He is self-effulgent, unborn, and changeless. He is the beginning of everything. But he has no beginning because he has created this cosmic manifestation by his external energy. The universe appears to be created, maintained, and annihilated by him. Nonetheless, he remains inactive in his spiritual energy and is untouched by the activities of the material energy. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshastika, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has many names, which are all non-different from the Supreme Person. This is spiritual existence. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, consisting of names of the Supreme Lord, we find that the name has all the potencies of the person. The Lord's activities are many, and according to his activities, he has many names. He appeared as the son of Mother Yashoda, and also as the son of Mother Devaki. And therefore, he is named Devaki Nandana and Yashoda Nandana. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The Lord has multiple energies, and therefore He acts in various ways. Yet, He has a particular name. The Shastras recommend which names we should chant, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. It is not that we have to search for some name or manufacture one. Rather, we must follow the saintly persons and the Shastras in chanting His holy name. Although the material and spiritual energies both belong to the Lord, He is impossible to understand as long as we are in the material energy. And when we come to the spiritual energy, He is very easy to know. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 7, Text 23, Mayam Kyutasya Chich Chaktya Kaivalya Stita Atmani. Although the external energy belongs to the Lord, when one is in the external energy, Mama Maya Duratniya, he is very difficult to understand. However, when one comes to the spiritual energy, one can understand him. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 55, it is said, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavam yaschasma tatvataha. One who wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in reality must take to the platform of bhakti or Krishna consciousness. This bhakti consists of various activities: shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. And to understand the Lord, one must take to this path of devotional service. Even though the people of the world have forgotten God and may say that God is dead, this is not a fact. One can understand God when one takes to the Krishna consciousness movement, and thus one can be happy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. Can somebody look up on their phone Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text Number 23, and give it to me? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, this is Swayam Bhuvamanu speaking. And he's talking about the Supreme Lord. The Lord, he explains, is first of all Satyaha. He's the absolute truth. Okay. We'll keep it there. Satyaha. He's the absolute truth. And the absolute truth, he also explains, Janmadi. He creates everything, he maintains everything, and ultimately he annihilates everything. This material energy, he creates, he maintains, he annihilates it. And he does it all by his own shakti, his own personal shakti, his own energies. But besides this, he also has his vidyaya, his spiritual potencies. So he doesn't give up his spiritual potencies to interact with the material energy or to control the material energy. He maintains his spiritual identity. So the Lord has various names, as Srila Prabhupada mentions. Prabhupada quotes from the Shikshastakam of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nidashava Shakti, that there are many names of the Lord, and they all have the Lord's Shakti. Right? Why did they have the Lord's Shakti, the holy names? Because the holy names are non-different from the Supreme Lord. So, these names describe the Lord's various activities. One of the names of the Lord is Vishvatma. Vishvatma. Vishvatma means the Lord is the soul of the universe. Vishvatma. Just like the body that we're in, we are the soul that gives the life to the body. Without the presence of the soul, the body ceases to be animate. Right? So just as the living entity gives life to the body due to the consciousness of the living entity, the whole universe is acting due to the presence of the Vishvatma, the Supreme Consciousness. The Supreme Consciousness, Vishvatma. We are present in the material body as the spirit soul, and the consciousness of the living entity pervades the entire body. You are aware of what's going on in your finger, right? Finger. Why? Because you can feel it. You can feel it, right? Everybody feel their little finger like this, okay? Everybody. Can you do that for a second? It's good therapy also. It's called acupressure. Okay? You feel that little finger? Huh? Why do you feel it? Consciousness. Right? If somebody were to take a rope and tie off your wrist with a tourniquet, after some time you wouldn't be able to feel that little finger anymore. Right? It would become numb. Why? Because the blood carries the consciousness. Right? When the blood circulation is cut off, no more consciousness there. Right? So just as, you know, the living entity's energy gives consciousness to the body, in the same way, the Supreme Lord, due to his consciousness, pervades the whole universe. And therefore, it comes into existence, the universe maintains itself, and finally, the universe is annihilated. But there's a difference. The living entity becomes very much affected by being involved in a material body, whereas the Lord, although he is the consciousness of the universe and he's situated everywhere in the universe by his energy, at the same time he's unaffected. He's unaffected. This becomes impossible. impossible for the conditioned living soul to understand. Right? Can't understand. Very difficult. As long as the living entity is in the conditioned state, in other words, as long as the living entity identifies as being part of this material atmosphere, it cannot understand the position of the Lord. However, if the living entity uplifts himself to the spiritual platform, then he can very easily understand the position of the Lord and his own position in relationship to the Lord. So, in order for us to get to the spiritual platform, the recommended process in this age is the chanting of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here, Shastras recommend which names we should chant. So the name that's recommended here, Srila Prabhupada mentions, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But God has so many names, unlimited names. And all of them are potent, but some are recommended. Some are recommended. God may like, He's equal. His pastimes, His activities are all equal, whether it's the creation of the universe or whether it's His instructions, right? Partha Sarthi, taking Krishna's, Arjuna's chariot on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and giving instructions, or whether He's dancing with the gopis as Gopinath. Right? So His names coincide with His activities. But there are some variegatedness also. This idea of simultaneously one and different is there throughout our philosophy. Achintya Beda, Beda Tattva. Simultaneously one. So all the names are the same, but at the same time there's some difference. They're all the name of the Lord. Anyone who chants them, they become purified. But so then what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, let us refer to Shastra. Shastra says, 1,000 names of Vishnu equals 1 name of Ram. And 3 names of Ram equals 1 name of Krishna. Right? So here we see that they're all equal, they're all the same, they're all the names of the Lord. They're endowed with Shakti, potency, but at the same time, inconceivably, there's some difference. Now, as long as we're talking about the names of the Lord, because Prabhupada refers to it in the purport, and we ought to stick to the purport when we give the Bhagavatam class, because Srila Prabhupada took a lot of time and effort to make this purport. He would think very carefully in the dead of night when everyone else was sleeping, and Srila Prabhupada would consider very carefully and choose his words very cautiously, following in the footsteps of the previous commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, naturally, we ought to stick to the points Srila Prabhupada has made in the purport. So since Srila Prabhupada has mentioned about Parashya Shakti Vivadhayashu, the different names, one interesting thing to note is some names that Srila Prabhupada, besides the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that he gave. He mentions Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana. So the Lord names coincide with his activities and his qualities, just like Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. There's nobody more attractive than Krishna. Right? Except for maybe Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said Lord Chaitanya is even more attractive than Krishna. Very beautiful, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's devotees would simply gaze at him with steadfast eyes, not able to take their eyes off the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the senses. However, the Lord specifically appreciates being called by the names that are of his devotees, like his mother, Yashoda, the joy of Yashoda, Yashoda Nandan, the joy of Devaki, Devaki Nandan, Nandanandana. So these names give great pleasure to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is so much favorable to his devotees. So much so that Krishna's devotees, he's controlled by his own devotees. Srila Prabhupada mentions from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam amajananti yavam yaschasma tatvataha. Because the devotee can know the Supreme Lord in full, in truth, can actually know the Lord. Why? Because the devotees have so much devotion. They have bhakti. Without bhakti, one cannot know the Supreme Lord. So the standard process for obtaining bhakti is mentioned here also. It's unique how Srila, you know, just one of Srila Prabhupada's purports sums up the whole process of Krishna consciousness. It's like a complete package. He mentions the holy name, he mentions Lord Chaitanya, he mentions the Lord's position in relationship to the material world, the living entities, and the process. This is called Sambandham Gyan. Sambandham Gyan. The knowledge of developing the relationship with the Supreme Lord. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarnam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bhandanam, Dasya, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So nicely hearing and chanting the holy name, resulting in remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Shravanam, hearing, a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness, to give oral reception. We learn a thing by hearing. If we hear very attentively, we can pick up anything. Just like a small child, their sense of hearing is very acute. Right? They're learning by hearing. That's why a small 5-year-old child can learn a language very quickly. Right? There was one devotee, his name was Amoghalila. Amoghalila is a Prabhupada disciple that was here in Juhu in the 70s, in the 1970s. And his parents were Christian missionaries. So when Amoghalila was born, he was born in Pakistan. And because he grew up as a small child there in Pakistan, he knew Urdu, Hindi, Urdu. Because he learned it, he heard it as a small child, so he knew Urdu. And later on, when Srila Prabhupada understood that he had been born in Pakistan and he knew Urdu, he wanted him to go to preach in Pakistan. So it took some time, but eventually Moga Lila made it to Pakistan. And it's not a very easy place to preach, Pakistan. Right? But if anybody wants to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all you have to do is go to Pakistan and preach. Prabhupada said, anybody goes and preaches in the Muslim countries, I take the dust from their feet. Srila Prabhupada said, I take the dust from their feet. So anyway, Moga Lila went to Pakistan and he was preaching there. Because it had to be very low key, of course, but he went to one Bungi colony and began his preaching there in the Bungi colony. And he made many devotees, actually. Many, many devotees came from that preaching in Pakistan. So anyway, the point is hearing. You can pick up anything if you hear nicely. And once you hear nicely, then you can also chant nicely. Shravanam and Kirtanam. This is the main process for developing bhakti. By bhakti, we can understand Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. And if we establish our relationship with Krishna, then we're no longer in the material world. Iha dasya hareer dasya karmana manasa gida nakivapyapivasta su jivan mukta sa uchite. Right? If one nicely engages his mind, his words, his activities in the service of Krishna, then even within this material body he becomes jivan mukta, liberated. Right? So one point that Srila Prabhupada makes is that today in the society there's a godlessness. The consciousness is godlessness. People don't want God. Right? And they have various false philosophies that God is dead. Right? Man made the concept of God because they felt that in order to get economic development, they should worship God. But now they have a higher understanding. They get economic development without God. Right? So in this way, they say God is dead. That's the mood that's permeating this society. So how to overcome that? Well, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one has to take to the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, that's interesting. He said the Krishna consciousness movement. These books are for thousands of years from now also. He could have said, you have to take to ISKCON. But he didn't say that. He said, one has to take to the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, hopefully, the Krishna consciousness movement is happening within ISKCON. And that ISKCON is a facility, is a vehicle for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Hopefully. But we always have to be cautious that it may not become such a vehicle. It could just become like another religion. Say, like, is Krishna consciousness about temples? Is the Krishna consciousness movement about temples? If you look at other religions, they're certainly about, like, churches. In Rome, they have a very big church called St. Peter's Basilica. It's the tallest church, religious structure, St. Peter's. Who's seen St. Peter's? Anybody been to Rome? Very big place. It's huge. And in Rome, there are so many churches. And all over Europe, there are so many churches. But now, those churches, nobody goes to them much. And so they rent them out for parties. They rent the churches out for parties. So what, you know, that could happen. What is it that is required so such a thing doesn't happen in the Hare Krishna movement? What's required? Krishna consciousness. Preaching. Okay. Philosophy. Any other suggestions? Purity. Okay. Purity, Krishna consciousness, philosophy. Any other ideas? Application of the philosophy in our own lives. Trying to become purified ourselves, and in that way, setting a good example to others. That's a good point. Any other ideas? How to keep within our society the Krishna consciousness movement alive? Yes. Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Okay. And Revati Raman. Develop our Krishna consciousness. Book distribution. Yes. Okay. Any other ideas? Following the parampara. Okay, these are all good ideas. Haridas, do you have an idea? Acharan karna chaye. Yes, proper behavior. Krishna prasadam, the most important aspect is. It's around 9 o'clock now. Krishna prasad. Yes? The mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I would say that's a pretty important ingredient. Because mercy is what's required. By our own effort, by our own determination, definitely we're going to fail. We are going to fail. We're not going to be Krishna conscious, although we struggle. We're too easily diverted due to our past conditioning. And even though we try to follow the parampara, again, we get waylaid by the highway robbers of distraction. The highway robbers of distraction. You have a good intention. You want to go to the proper place. But the highway robbers come. They beat you up. They take your money and leave you for dead. Right? So what are those highway robbers? We want to become Krishna conscious. We want to get back home. We want to be with Krishna. We want to develop bhakti. But along comes the diversions. And there's so many. So many diversions. Mundane topics are one. Kutinata is another one. What is Kutinata? Kutinata? Rajniti is politics, right? Kutinata, political mentality, political consciousness. Attraction for the opposite sex. It's like a highway robber. Come and beat us like anything. Leave us for dead. And the subtle form of attraction to the opposite sex is also a highway robber. Right? What are the subtle forms of attraction for the opposite sex? Lab, puja, pratista. Right? Just like highway robbers, finish off the traveler, the person on the journey, trying to go back home, back to Godhead. And they will come and they will win. They'll win. You have no power. Where does this attraction for the opposite sex come from? It's Krishna's energy. Maya. Madan. Can we defeat Krishna's energy? Not a chance. Not a chance. So you see, we're destined to fail in one sense. The only ingredient, well, there's two ingredients. Ingredient number one, what is it that's required? Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion explains that the important ingredient is lolyam. Lolyam. You know what lolyam means? Lolyam. Greed. You have to be greedy. Very, very greedy for bhakti. Like a businessman, Prabhupada says. They're greedy for sabse badiya rupya, right? They're always looking how to make a profit. Oh, I can sell that. I can charge this. I can make a profit, right? They're greedy. Right? Or like some people are after laddus, you know? They'll steal laddus. They'll tell lies for laddus. They'll do anything to get a laddu. Right? So, in order to get to Krishna consciousness, in order to be Krishna conscious, in order to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, in order for us to do our parts so that ISKCON doesn't go astray and just become empty buildings, we have to have that lolyam. So besides lolyam, one other thing is required. And that's mercy, kripa. Because without the mercy of the Lord, we cannot establish our lost relationship with Him. It's absolutely essential, mercy. So these are the two things. These are the two things required in our own lives. We're all like small little building blocks of the greater Krishna consciousness movement. And doing these activities, preaching, distributing books, setting a proper example, behavior, these are all things that we can do to try to attract the mercy of Krishna. Krishna loves his devotees very much. He very much favors his devotees because they have so much love for him. They're so dependent on him, Krishna's devotees. They depend on him for everything. They don't do things themselves. Krishna does things. They simply assist him. They're so dependent. What do you want me to do now, Lord? The devotee thinks. What should I do? What would please you? They're dependent. And because they're so dependent on the Lord feels so inclined to them. And therefore he's known as Bhaktavatsalya. Bhaktavatsalya. If, by good fortune, we come in contact with such a devotee that is free from any material hankering and is completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by that, and then we try to serve such a devotee, then if that devotee intercedes with the Lord on our behalf, then it'll be possible for us to actually get the mercy. Any comments? Questions?
Puji, you are mentioning about greed for bhakti. So I have observed in myself that I have greed for other things, as you said that example of laddu. So one can say lie for having one laddu or an extra laddu aside from his quota. So but when it comes to bhakti, that lolium does not occur, and even if we try that artificially, that so this greed does not come. There, I have one more question. Can I continue to you? So, as observed, that when we go out for book distribution or preaching, so people have one conception about ISKCON devotees. And they feel that, I know about ISKCON, you know, I know about all your people. And so thank you very much, but I don't want to take your book. I don't want to hear what you want. And let me be happy in my sense gratification. So when we try to push some book to them, they immediately reject. So dealing with such kind of persons has become difficult. So then what should be done in that case?
Well, it's not that everywhere Lord Chaitanya went, the people were receptive. He used to go to village, and some villages, just by seeing him, everyone would become fully Krishna conscious. They would have tears in their eyes. Their hair would stand on end. And they would chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But some villages weren't so receptive. So what did he do? He went to another village. Vaisheshika Prabhu gives the example that when you're collecting mangoes, some are kacha and some are paka. So we're looking for the paka aams. If you get an aam that's paka, you just give a little tug, it comes. But if it's kacha, You have to pull. You can even break the branch trying to pull off the kacham. So why waste your time with kacham? You're looking for the pakaam. There's persons that are sufficiently ready to do the next thing in Krishna consciousness, which may very well be take a book and give a donation. Right? Others may not be ready. So don't waste your time with the kacham. Look for the pakaams. Look for the persons that are right. And there are so many people out there.
Prabhuji, you are very beautifully mentioning about this mercy aspect.
The what?
You are very nicely mentioning about this mercy which we require in our life to not be beaten by the highway robbers.
Yes.
So, in that aspect, Prabhuji, my question is, what is more important? Like, we hear the statement that sincerity is more important than purity of mind. So, like, we also have example of Chota Haridas from the past tense of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it appears that his purpose of going to that lady was begging some alms from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But maybe there may be some impurity in the mind. So, now in our own life, especially in the Brahmacharya Ashram when we are practicing, it may many times happens that our intentions may not be bad, but we may lose the purity of mind, but the intentions are good. But we may get beaten by the highway robbers. So how much can we depend on our sincerity of purpose than the purity of mind? That's what my question is.
Well, even a child that's learning how to walk is sincere to try to walk, and the potential for walking is also there. That doesn't come from some external source. At a certain age, the ability to walk is in the child. But the child has to practice. The child stands up, falls down, stands up, falls down, and by continuously practicing, the child begins to walk. So Krishna consciousness is inherent within the living entity. It's not that Krishna consciousness comes from somewhere else. The attraction for the Supreme Lord is there within the heart of the living entity. But because it's covered over, there we have to perform. We practice Krishna consciousness. We practice chanting the holy name. We practice hearing, we practice remembering, right? And definitely, as you said, the highway robbers are there. They will waylay us. But what to do? Like the child falls down, you pick yourself up again and keep trying. When the Lord sees that this person is very, as you mentioned, sincere, even though the highway robbers beat him up like anything, left him for dead, still he's picking himself up and continuing on the journey back home, back to Godhead. So let me help him. Right? Now, today is a very special day. It's Balaram Ras Purnima. Lord Balaram also danced with the gopis in Vrindavan. Because they were feeling such separation from Krishna. So Balaram went to Vrindavan to alleviate the separation of the Brijvasis from Lord Krishna. And at that time he danced with the gopis. Balaram has his own set of separate gopis. There's no difference between Krishna and Balaram except that Krishna is, you know, dark color and Balaram is white. Otherwise, no difference. But there's simultaneously there's some difference also. Srila Prabhupada said that after he did the installation of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan on a morning walk, he said, now you have Balaram. That was the first time Krishna and Balaram were installed in Arditis in that form. And now you have Balaram. He is very merciful. If you always pray to Balaram, he will relieve you of your material desires. So, Balaram is very merciful, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna, Vrijinda Nandana, and Balaram is Nittai. So we should always pray to Lord Nityananda that we may perfect our lives to the point where we can again join in the leelas of Krishna in the spiritual world. Also, today is the appearance day of Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu was born as the son of Krishna Mandal, and from a very early age, previously, that Krishna Mandal had many children, but they all died. All Krishna Mandal's children died, and then he had this son. So he decided to call that son Duki. Duki. You know, people do that even nowadays. You know, if something happens in the family, they give some strange name to the kid, right? So he got the name Duki. And as the boy grew up, he was very good at his studies, and he was a very good singer, and he was very much attracted by hearing about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. His father, Krishna Mandal, was also a devotee of Krishna, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So when he became a little older, he wanted to become initiated. And so his father sent him to the house of Hriday Chaitanya in Ambika Kalna. And there, Duki met Hriday Chaitanya. And when he met him, he offered his obeisances and he said he wanted to become initiated, he wanted to serve Hriday Chaitanya. And he said, okay, from today your name is Krishna, Krishnadas. So he went from Duki to Krishnadas. And some people called him Dukiya Krishnadas. Right? So he served very faithfully Hriday Chaitanya. And the deities in Ambika Kalna of Gaur Nittai were personally installed there by Lord Chaitanya himself. They're non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Hriday Chaitanya could see that this boy was very advanced in devotional service, so he thought, better I send him to Vrindavan so that he learns under Srila Jiva Goswami. So he sent Krishnadas to Vrindavan with a message that this boy, you please train him up in devotional service. Devotional service requires training, and when he becomes trained up properly, you can send him back. Sometimes they do that even in ISKCON temples, you know. Go here and get training, come back. So he was there under Srila Jiva Goswami, and Srila Jiva Goswami gave him a seva. You sweep every day, seva kunj. Right? So he was doing that service. He was going, he was sweeping the seva kunj, and very blissful, you know, he was very happy to have that service. So one day, Krishnadas, he was sweeping seva kunj, and he saw in the kund, in seva kunj, there was a lady's ankle bracelet. So he was very valuable, beautiful ankle bracelet. He took it and put it in his cloth. And he said, he thought in his mind, whoever this belongs to, if they come, I'll give it to them. So, Vishakha was with Radharani in the morning. And she noticed that Radharani was only having one ankle bracelet. One was gone. So, Vishakha said, where's your other ankle bracelet? She said, I was dancing in Seva Kunj. One gone, Gumgaya. Can you go get it for me? She told, Radharani told Vishakha. So Vishakha went there. She looked and she saw Shyamananda sweeping in the Seva Kunj. She said, did you see one ankle bracelet? He said, yes, I found it. Oh, that's my friend's. I'll take it back to her. And he said, can I give it to her? She said, okay. So then behind a tree, this Krishna Das saw there was Radharani, and he became filled with ecstasy. And Vishakha told him to take bath in the Kund. He took bath in the Kund. When he came out from the Kund, he had the form of a young girl. So he went and gave the ankle bracelet to Radharani. And Radharani took the kumkum from her hair and put it on the ankle bracelet and put the ankle bracelet on his forehead, and it formed a tilak. And she said, from today your name is Shyamananda. So then he woke up and he was filled with ecstasy from this experience. And he went back to Jiva Goswami and explained the situation, what happened. So Jiva Goswami was very happy. But in Vrindavan, the talk was, because now he's calling himself Shyamananda and he has a different tilak, so the word went around that, Hare, Krishnadas is in total maya. He's got a new tilak and he's calling himself Shyamananda. So that went all the way to Ambika Kalna in Bengal. And Hriday Chaitanya, the guru of Shyamananda, he heard it. And he said, what a rascal. I sent him there to get training and now he's become something else, calling himself Shyamananda, new tilak. So he went straight away to Vrindavan. And as soon as he saw his disciple, he began to slap him like anything. So Shyamananda took it as a mercy of the Lord. That night, Hriday Chaitanya, in a dream, Radharani came to him. And she said, listen, I gave him that tilak. I gave him the name. Don't disturb him. So the next day, Hriday Chaitanya, he went to Shyamananda and he began to weep, drenching Shyamananda in his tears that he had become perfect. He had reached the perfection. So Shyamananda was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya. He also served Srila Jiva Goswami there in Vrindavan. He started a temple called Radha Shamsundar Mandir. That temple is there. You can have darshan of the deities, Radha Shamsundar, the deities of Shyamananda. He preached widely in Orissa. Shyamananda, one of his famous disciples was Rasikananda. So today is his appearance day. And Vamsi Vadan Thakur was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. When he was born, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were both there. And later on, after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Vamsivadan would take care of Sachi, Mata, and Vishnupriya. And later, when Vishnupriya installed the deity of Lord Chaitanya, after she left this world, Vamsivadan continued to worship the deity of Vishnupriya, of Lord Chaitanya. So there's another great exalted devotee whose appearance is today. Hare Krishna. Grantra Chimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.